of Krishna. And so there we started a project, and you can well imagine a new project needs a lot of involvement. So I'm quite tied up there. Plus, you know, I have commitments in other parts of the world, especially in India. And so it was quite tight, and my schedule practically was completely full for this year. And yet I was thinking that when to go to North Carolina. And I immediately looked at my schedule, and I could find this slot.
Arriba!
Initially, I didn't really think much about the possibility, because generally when I come to North Carolina, I make it a point to come here on the weekend, so that most of you are free. But I asked, well, what if I go on a weekday? And they agreed. So I said, okay, this weekend I'm going to Atlanta, and from Atlanta I will drive to Charlotte for a day, because many devotees came from Charlotte also. And then after that I'll come here to Cary and Hillsborough. Anyway, I'm very happy to be here, and I'm extremely impressed to see how many of you have responded, how many of you have came, how many of you have come. So I'm happy to meet all of you. Okay, I will just go straight to the topic. He has been doing kirtan, so I'll go for kirtan now. So I have only 2 days, yeah, to cover the entire Brihadbhagavatam. You can see 3 volumes. So the brief introduction to Brihadbhagavatam. How many of you have read Brihadbhagavatam? Okay. How many of you are fond of reading? Okay, rather I put it the other way around. How many of you don't have enough time to read? Actually, that's the problem. Nowadays, life has become so busy. Early days, people used to read. I remember when I used to, especially non-textbook. We are very fond of reading non-textbook. You know what I used to do when I was young? I used to have the textbook on top and the storybook underneath. And if somebody came, I would cover the storybook and the textbook, and everybody would think that I'm reading the textbook. Very good boy. Did any of you do that?
Yes.
Or was I the only one to do that cheating? So, yeah, we are so fond of reading. But nowadays... But one nice thing is that the information has become so easily available. When we were young, we used to read Encyclopedia Britannica, if we wanted. And to search was such a difficult job also. So many volumes of books. But now, you have Google. Google is the grandfather of Encyclopedia Britannica. Like, you just, any information you want is there. It's so amazing. Like, anyway, like, world is naturally progressing, and now we have to take advantage of that. We have to dovetail that. Are you all familiar with the expression dovetail?
Yeah.
Dovetail means fit in. to that. Use it for that purpose. Do you know how that word is spread? How did that word actually came? The word dovetail, what it actually... Yes, Mother Krishna Priya is telling us. Yeah, it's in the carpentry.
Yeah.
In carpentry, they actually join two sets of wood. One goes this way, and the other fits in that way. Like plus minus, as they say, male female. And it just like it's like a dove's tail. So. One is cut, and the other one is hollow. The other is protruding. So, meaning utilizing something for any specific purpose. So, what is our purpose? Dovetail things for Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness. Everything can be used in Krishna's service. Everything can be used for Krishna's pleasure. And the principle is jat karosi, jat asnasi, jat juhasi, dadasi jat, jat tapashoshi konteya, tat kurusha, madarpanam. So, anyway, to go back to that point, Brihat Bhagavatam. The word Brihat means?
Huge.
Very good. Brihat means huge, vast. And Bhagavat means? About the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Amritam. Okay. Amritam means nectar. In simple words, you can say the nectarian expansion of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam has been expanded. Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. It took him 6-7 days. Parikshit Maharaj's mother, Uttara, was there. So Uttara asked Parikshit Maharaj, "Son, what you learned from your spiritual master, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, can you please give me the essential understanding of that?" And while explaining, Parikshit Maharaj narrated the stories. Not stories, actually. In spiritual context, there is no room for fiction. Everything is real. He narrated these anecdotes. What was the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam in an extensive way? Expansion of Srimad Bhagavatam in order to give the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, the essential understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the essential understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam? The devotional service to Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. Bhagavatam has 10 limbs, you can say. Those are 10 aspects. Bhagavatam actually has 12 limbs, but 10 aspects. Those 10 aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam is creation, sub-creation, creation, sub-creation, then the structure, the position of different planetary systems. Then maintenance, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is maintaining everything. Then the reigns of different manus. In a day of Brahma, there are 14 manus. And their reigns are described as manvantar. Then the descriptions of the Lord's activities, Ishanukatha. Then liberation and freedom from bondage, and then ultimate shelter. And Prabhupada described that as samam bonam, ultimate conclusion. So these are the 10 aspects. Like, these 10 aspects is leading to that ultimate point. And what is that ultimate point? Devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead also has different levels. And gradually it's taking to the ultimate level. Ultimate level of devotion. So,
sorry.
The highest form of devotion. So that is being described in the first part of Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, Brihad Bhagavatam. The first part is describing Narad Muni's search for the pure devotee, the best devotee, the recipient of the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. So the scene begins in Prayag. Prayag is the place where Ganga and Jamuna meets. Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati meets. Ganga and Jamuna are visible. Saraswati is flowing underneath. So the place of Prayag, in the place of Prayag they were having a spiritual festivity, Magh Mela. Magh is the winter month. And in winter month in Prayag they have a celebration where all saintly personalities assembled. So Narad Muni was there, and Narad Muni saw that everyone is glorifying everyone else, saying that he is the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. So Narad Muni began to wonder, who is the actual recipient of Krishna's mercy? Let me find out. Because everyone is saying, you are the greatest devotee, you are the greatest devotee. Okay, first lesson to learn. What is the attitude of a devotee? Right. The devotee is humble. He considers others' greatness. He doesn't consider himself to be the greatest. Now this is the difference between the material and spiritual platform. In the material platform, everyone thinks that he is the greatest. Right? Whether we admit it or not. And we cannot avoid that. Because that is the influence of false ego. In the material nature, we all are affected by false ego. And due to false ego, we tend to think that we are the greatest. And everyone thinks that he is the greatest. Even an ant thinks he is the greatest. Therefore, if you come on the way of an ant, and looks up at you and shouts, "Who the hell are you?" Coming up my way. That is the material nature. So there, the false ego. The false ego makes us feel that we are the greatest, we are the best. And that's why it automatically leads to envy. I am the greatest, but why he is recognized as great? Why the people are so blind that they don't see my greatness? On the other hand, the spiritual attitude is, I am smaller than the smallest. I am worse than even a blade of grass. Trinadopi sunyachina. And just as in the material nature, in the material platform, it automatically happens. We tend to think that we are the greatest individually. In the spiritual context, it automatically happens that we become humble. Why? Because spiritual means becoming aware of Krishna. And Krishna is the greatest. So more you get to know Krishna, closer you come to Krishna, you begin to recognize your minuteness, how small you are. In the material platform, we are spiritual being, everything that we are seeing is material, inferior. Therefore, I am greater than everything else or everybody else. Whereas on the spiritual platform, as we become aware of Krishna, the original source of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we naturally begin to see our minuteness in relation to His greatness. In that respect, we can consider one anecdote. There was a great Mughal emperor, Akbar. And Akbar had a minister who was very, very intelligent and witty. And naturally, he was very dear to Akbar. His name was Birbal. So, one day Akbar, his other ministers became envious of Birbal. Why Akbar is so fond of him? Why doesn't Akbar see false ego? Why doesn't Akbar recognize us? Why Akbar is giving him so much credit? And he's so fond of him. So in order to prove Birbal's intelligence and superiority above them, one day Akbar came to the court and he drew a line on the floor with a chalk. So then Akbar asked, "Can anyone make this line shorter without rubbing it off?" So nobody could do that. How is it possible? How to make the line shorter without rubbing it off? Then finally Akbar asked Birbal, "Birbal, can you make this line shorter without rubbing it off?" Birbal said, "No problem." So he went down, picked up the chalk, and he drew a line larger than that one. He said, "Now your line is shorter." So shorter or longer, greater or smaller, is actually relative consideration. When we are in relation to inferior, we are superior. But when we are exposed to superior or greater, then you become inferior or subordinate. So that's why in spiritual relationship, in spiritual context, we all become humble because we become aware of greatness of Krishna. What Krishna can do, we cannot do. Therefore, let us be subordinate to Krishna. Krishna lifted a mountain, that also on the left, with left, just one hand, left hand. And that also he held it with his little on top of his little finger for 7 days. Can anybody do that? When Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, somebody came to him and told him about Bhagavan, one Bhagavan, meaning some ordinary human being who is claiming himself to be Bhagavan. Then Prabhupada said, okay, I have a challenge to your Bhagavan. Ask your Bhagavan to lift the table with one hand and hold it for 7 minutes. So this person was close to him, so he went to that Bhagavan and said, Swami Bhaktivedanta sent you a challenge. What's that? He asked you to lift the table with one hand and hold it for 7 minutes. He said, how is it possible? So he went and told that to Prabhupada. He said, see, he can't even hold a table for 7 minutes, whereas Krishna held a mountain on his little finger of his left hand for 7 days. So that person was intelligent. He rejected that fake Bhagavan and came to Srila Prabhupada to get to know the real Bhagavan. So the point is, we become aware of our actual position when we become aware of Krishna, Krishna's greatness. That's why devotees are naturally very humble. And this first part will actually describe how Narad Muni was searching for the greatest devotee. And the greatest devotee, and that search actually took him to the greatest devotee. So Narad Muni decided to find out who is actually the greatest devotee, and he saw on the bank of the river one Brahmana, very, very wonderfully, very nicely, made all the arrangements for the worship of the Lord. His Shaligram Shila. He was carrying his Shaligram Shila, and he placed the Shaligram Shila on a throne and on the bank of the Ganges, and he made elaborate arrangements. He was a very wealthy Brahmin, so he made the arrangements of and offered beautiful prasad and worshipped him in a grand way. And seeing his devotion, Narad Muni considered that this is the greatest devotee. So Narad Muni went to him and told him, started to glorify him, that you are the greatest devotee of the Lord. You are the greatest recipient of Lord's mercy. The way you worship the Lord with so much devotion, and you are using all your wealth in glorifying the Lord. And so, but the Brahmana, he felt very, very embarrassed. He started to tell him, look, what devotion did you see in me? I'm a Brahmana. My occupation is to worship the Lord. I'm simply worshipping the Lord because that's my occupation as a Brahman. Where is devotion? It is just with a sense of duty I worship the Lord. The real devotee of the Lord is that king in South India. And he described that, see, he's a warrior, he's a kshatriya. His business is to rule the kingdom. But the way, in spite of being a warrior, in spite of being a kshatriya, in spite of being a king, the way he worships the Lord is remarkable. He is the greatest devotee. So Narad Muni, you know, Narad Muni has the ability to move with the speed of his mind. Like, he simply wants to go somewhere and he immediately appears there. So Narad Muni immediately just appeared in that king's kingdom. And he did see such a grand temple and such wonderful arrangement for worship. And everybody there are so devoted to the Lord, and the king is actually guiding them. And king himself is engaged in making all the arrangements for worshipping the Lord. So being Narad Muni became very, very impressed. So he went to the king and told him, started to glorify him as the greatest devotee. The king became very embarrassed. He said, "What devotion did you see? You are saying that I am worshipping the Lord with such grandeur. But what is my ability? I am an ordinary human being. The duration of my life is small. My assets and my wealth and opulence is all so insignificant. The real devotee is Indra, the king of the demigods." And he started to explain why Indra is the greatest devotee. That he is the king of the demigods. And he has so much devotion to the Lord that the Lord himself has become his younger brother. And the Lord personally accepts his offerings. And Indra himself serves the Lord with so much love and devotion. So upon hearing that, Narad Muni immediately went to heavenly planet, Svargaloka. And there he saw that next to Indra, Lord is sitting as Upendra. Upendra, Upa Indra. Indra's younger brother. Who is that?
Bhavanadeva.
And so he just saw how wonderfully Indra was actually serving the Lord, and how the Lord is protecting Indra, receiving his service. And then afterwards, Lord left that place. So when he left, Narad Muni approached Indra and started to glorify him for his devotion to the Lord and how wonderfully the Lord is reciprocating. So he must be a recipient of Lord's mercy, the real recipient of Lord's mercy. But Indra became very embarrassed. He said, "What devotion did you see in me?" Like, it's not devotion, it's out of distress when I take shelter of the Lord. Very mercifully, Lord actually appears to protect me. When the demons cause problem, Bali, that demon, he took over my kingdom. And I was wandering around, like hiding in different places, afraid of the demons, Bali and his associates. And seeing my condition, my mother took pity upon me. Out of her distress, she performed some severe austerity. And as a result of that austerity, the Lord came, regained my kingdom, gave it to me, seeing what a useless character I was, totally unable to take care of myself. So he restored me, reinstated me in my throne as the king of the demigods. So in this way, Indra started to describe his inability and his lacking as a devotee. And Indra started to tell that actual devotee is your father, Lord Brahma. And he started to glorify Brahma as the greatest devotee. So Narad Muni then went to Brahma. And he started to glorify. Brahma became very upset. Narad, since your childhood, I'm telling you not to speak like that. You're saying that I'm the greatest, I'm this, I'm that. And now you're saying that I'm the greatest devotee of the Lord. Do you know what I did? I tried to check him out. I stole his cows. And I stole his friends. Simply to find out who actually, whether he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was saying that I am his devotee. I am the greatest offender to him, the devotee. The real devotee is Lord Shiva. And he started to glorify Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, the Lord treats Shiva as his friend. And even though he commits offense, but the Lord doesn't take any offense. So in this way he started to glorify Lord Shiva. Upon hearing that, Narad Muni immediately went to Kailash, Mount Kailash, and approached Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was sitting with Parvati, and he started to glorify Lord Shiva. How he was the greatest devotee. He is, due to his love and devotion for the Lord, due to his obsession, he has rejected all attachment. He behaves like a madman due to his intense love for Krishna. He doesn't have any external consciousness. Although he is the husband of Mahamaya, who is the supreme controller of the material nature, who is the bestower of all the opulences in the material nature to the people, in this material nature, but he himself doesn't have anything. He doesn't even have a place to stay. He stays in the crematorium. He doesn't even worry about wearing any clothes. He just moves around naked. He smears his body with ashes from crematorium. And it's all because of his complete Krishna consciousness. He's so conscious of Krishna that he does not have any other awareness, any other consciousness. So, in this way he started to describe the glory of Lord Shiva as the greatest devotee. But what did Lord Shiva say? Narad Muni also mentioned Vaishnavanam Jatha Sambhu. But Lord Shiva did not accept that. He said, Narad, what devotion did you see in me? Like, maybe there is some attachment, but the thing is, consider me to be the greatest recipient of Lord's mercy. The real recipient of Lord's mercy are the residents of Vaikuntha. They are always with the Lord. The Lord has become their associates. The Lord has given them the form, his own form. You are saying that I am detached from material attachments, but they all are beyond material attachments. They all are liberated. They have nothing to do with this material nature. They are so fond of the Lord that the Lord has given them his personal association. They are all his eternal associates. And then Parvati added, and among all of those residents of Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi is the greatest. And Narad Muni was about to go to Vaikuntha. than Lord Shiva said, Narad, even greater a devotee, even greater a recipient of Lord's mercy is Prahlad. And he started to describe the glory of Prahlad Maharaj. So then Narad Muni went to Prahlad, Sutala Loka, in Sutala Loka. So when Narad Muni started to glorify Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj felt very embarrassed. He said, Narad Muni, as a child I developed some attachment in a childish way. That is not devotion. Devotion means service. The expression of devotion is in service. What service did I render? Seeing me in my distressful condition, very mercifully the Supreme Lord protected me from different calamities. But there was no devotion in me. Whatever attachment was there, it was just some childish attachment. The real devotee is Hanuman. See the service that he rendered. That is devotion. And this is how he started to sing the glory of Hanuman. So upon seeing, hearing that, Narad Muni immediately went. Glory of Lord Ramchandra, Hanuman also jumped. And right in the space, he embraced Narad Muni. And he also started to sing the glory of Lord Ramchandra. And then they came to the land. And then Narad Muni started to glorify Hanuman as the greatest devotee. Upon hearing that, Hanuman started to cry. Narad Muni, already my heart is afflicted due to my separation from the Lord. And why are you causing greater pain and greater wound in that afflicted heart? You are calling me that I am the greatest recipient of Lord's mercy. If at all he considered me to be dear to him, even at all if he considered me to be his devotee, then why did he leave me behind? He took everyone with him, only he left me behind. And by saying that, Hanuman started to cry. Then Hanuman said, the real recipient of Lord's mercy are the Pandavas. They are so dear to the Lord that the Lord is constantly giving them his association. Whenever they are in difficulties and distress, the Lord goes out of his way to take care of them, save them from that difficult situation. So they are the real devotees. So then upon hearing that, Narad Muni went to Hastinapur and he started to glorify the Pandavas as the greatest devotee. And the Pandavas then responded saying, Narad Muni, whatever the Lord did for us, it is due to his own nature. He is the savior of the fallen. He is the shelter of the distressed. So whenever we were in distressful situation, the Lord took care of us. Yes, he came. When Durjathan sent Durvashana to 64,000 disciples, at a time when we are not even able to receive them. But it is by his mercy Durvasa Muni left without even coming to take prasad. And in this way they started to describe the way the Lord has always save them from difficult situations. It was the, His mercy from their part. They haven't really done anything for them. And then they started to describe that the residents of Dwarka are the real devotees of the Lord. Because the Lord has become their relative. And they're so dear to the Lord that the Lord is with them all the time. Upon hearing that, Narad Muni then went to Dwarka. And he went to Sudharma Assembly. And he started to glorify the Yadus as the greatest devotee. Then Ugrasen said that, and among the Yadus, Uddhava is the greatest devotee. And they started to describe Uddhava's devotion to the Lord. He's always with him. The Lord considers him to be his greatest friend, his minister, his confidant, his secretary, his... That is Uddhava's position. And upon hearing that, Narad Muni became so overwhelmed that he could barely walk. With faltering steps he started to... And he asked, where is Uddhava? Where can I meet him? And they said that Uddhava is in the inner chamber of Lord's palace. So Narad Muni, with faltering steps, singing the glory of Uddhava, he went inside Krishna's bedroom. And then he found that many of them are there. Uddhava is there, Balaram is there, the queens are there, Kamsa's mother Padmavati is there. So all of them seem to be very worried. It's already so late in the morning, but Krishna didn't wake up. Krishna, covering his body from head to toe with chadar, he's still lying in bed. And the queen started to describe that Krishna sometimes becomes so overwhelmed with emotion due to his separation from the residents of Vrindavan that he feels in this way. And this way they started to talk, and then Balaram started to say, well, if he is really missing them, then why doesn't he go to Vrindavan? I went, I saw the condition of those poor devotees in Vrindavan. They haven't eaten anything. They didn't cook. Their fireplace has grown cobwebs because they haven't used it. The spiders have created cobwebs there. They're still alive because they're chanting the holy name of the Lord. And so this is how, when Balaram started to speak, Krishna just started to cry. And he started to explain why he couldn't go to Vrindavan, and how he misses Vrindavan, how he misses the residents of Vrindavan, his days in Vrindavan. And speaking like that, Krishna fainted. And when Krishna fainted, they all started to cry. And the sound of their cry reached the Sudharma Assembly. And Ugrasen, with all other associates and ministers, came running. What happened? What happened? And he saw that the condition, Krishna has fainted. And everyone was so worried. Many of them were crying. What happened? Because when somebody faints, it seems that he died. Mm. So So at that time, Brahma arrived there, and Brahma called Garuda, and he called Vishwakarma. He just called Garuda and called Balaram and said, Balaram, take Krishna to the new Vrindavan. Vishwakarma has created a replica of Vrindavan in the middle of the ocean in an island. So let Garuda carry you and him to that place. That's the only way Krishna's consciousness can be revived. And so Balaram dressed up Krishna like a coward boy. And he himself also dressed up like a coward boy. And placed Krishna on Garuda's back, and then they flew. Narad Muni also followed them, and from that space, Narad Muni started to watch what's happening. So when Garuda placed Krishna in New Vrindavan is the place where all the personalities of Vrindavan are there, but in their murti form. Vishwakarma created a new Vrindavan there. And Balaram woke up Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, wake up, it's so late. Everyone is waiting for you. The cows are waiting for you to be taken to the pasture ground. And the cowherd boys are waiting for you. Mother Yashoda is in extreme anxiety. Wake up. So Krishna woke up and said, Brother, you know, I had a strange dream. I dreamt that I got married to so many princesses. And he started to tell about what had been happening in his dream. And Balaram said, okay, come on, it's already late. Let's hear something, hear about it later. Now let's go. And then Balaram, Krishna saw Mother Yashoda, and he said, Mother, you're not speaking. Are you so upset with me because I woke up so late? Balaram dragged him, come on, let's go. No time to waste now. Everyone is waiting. And in this way, Krishna was reacting to different personalities of Vrindavan. And then, when he met Radharani, he just sneaked out of Balaram and started to reciprocate to Radharani. And by the way Krishna was reciprocating, or speaking to Radharani, expressing, calling her the greatest attachment that he has for her, and Praneshwari, the Lord or the Lady of my heart and soul. And this is how, when, like, Krishna's reaction was as if Radharani is so upset that she is not talking to him. And Krishna was speaking to her in that mood. And then Balaram came in. But then Balaram came and told Krishna, Krishna, then what happened is, when Balaram dragged Krishna, then Krishna saw the city of Dwarka. He said, Balaram, brother, when did that city develop on the other side of Jamuna? I never seen that before. So then Balaram said, Krishna, remember, your dear devotees, Pandavas, are in distress. Although all the kings have been defeated, but their allies are ready to attack them. And you are their only shelter, you are the only protector. Then Krishna came back to his senses. Whoever dares to do anything to my devotee, immediately destroy them. So this is how Krishna came back to his Dwarka mood. So this is how Narada Muni saw the greatest of all devotees. See how systematically he took us from one level of devotion to the other level. And the devotees, when they were describing the superiority of others, other devotees, it was not just some a vain flattery. It was with proper spiritual understanding, their situation was established. And this is how we can get a clear understanding of different levels of devotees. In this way, ultimately, we get to see the glory of Vrindavan and the supremacy of Srimati Radharani as the devotee. So that is the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? So, if you have any question, please feel free to ask. Or if anybody wants to add something, please feel free to. Yes? Why not Vrindavan? Then Krishna wouldn't have come back. Yeah. See, Vishwakarma, on Brahma's order, created a replica of Vrindavan to revive Krishna and bring him back to his Dwarka mood. Because Dwarka's Krishna is Vasudev Krishna. And Vrindavan Krishna is Nanda Nandan Krishna. And Vasudev Krishna is yearning to go to Vrindavan. And that is why Krishna, due to his separation from the residence of Vrindavan and with an intense desire to embrace him, he appears Lord, he becomes Lord Jagannath. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, what is the position of Narad Muni as in the spiritual world? Like, because many times we hear that he's in the Vaikuntha planets with Narayan, and then also we hear that how he experiences like Lord Krishna's mood of separation as Jagannath. So we see him everywhere, but is there a particular mood that Narad Muni or?
Yeah, Narad Muni's mood generally is servitorship. And he is, but at the same time, he is appreciating all different situations of Krishna. In that respect, it has been said that whatever one's own mellow is, he considers that to be the highest. Jar jei rosh hoy, shei sarvottam. Whatever one's mellow is, that is the highest. And Narad Muni at the same time knows about everything. So Narad Muni's position is to give living entities devotion to Krishna. Therefore we find that whenever one becomes eligible to receive Krishna's mercy, Narad Muni is bestowing that. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Hare Krishna, everyone. And Narad Muni actually enhances Krishna's pastimes. Although Bhagavatam describes that it is Kamsa, see when Kamsa gave the first son back to Vasudeva and told him that I don't have anything to do with them. I don't have to worry about him. You're the eighth one. And it is Narad Muni actually who went and told her. Other scriptures like Garga Samhita is actually describing. The reason is Narad Muni is considering that if this child survives, then it'll take a long time for Devaki to become pregnant. Mm. But if the child dies, then, you know, she'll get pregnant quickly. So in order to accelerate Krishna's coming, make Krishna come more quickly, Narad Muni actually went and told Kamsa. And then Kamsa told his associates. So, and that's why sometimes, you know, Narad Muni is seen as a personality who causes, you know, different people to quarrel. So, he causes that quarrel. But he gives advice also. So, that is Narad Muni's role. He's like the catalyst in Krishna's pastimes. Yes?
Maharaj, so I learned that actually when there are many acharyas, they're discussing, they're describing the activity of Lord Krishna when he was in Vrindavan, and then many of them, they are saying that actually when he's son of Mother Yasoda, kind of imitation is not real. But then what happens is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said it is not imitation. Actually, this is real. Krishna is real. He does that. It's not really simply imitation that he, Mother Yasoda is mother and he's acting as a child. So no, activity.
So what's your point? Come to the point. What's your point?
So my point is that he's real.
Yes,
so when
it's
we
real.
Are talking about new Vrindavan, then when it is replica, how can be Krishna satisfied with the replica? How can we understand these two things?
We have to go and ask Krishna. We have to ask Krishna why. All right.
Thank you.
And you're mixing up two things. What Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, that the original Krishna, which is also substantiated by Jiva Goswami, that the original Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj, not the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. And Krishna's original abode is Vrindavan, and Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Yes.
Maharaj, can the new Vrindavan be considered as Navadvipa?
No, that's different.
That is different.
This new Vrindavan, you see, all the personalities of Vrindavan are present there. Mm-hmm. Navadvipa is Navadvipa. Navadvipa is not new. Navadvipa is eternal. Golok has two chambers. One is Vrindavan, one is Navadvipa. In Vrindavan, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is enjoying the loving exchange with his devotees. And the same Krishna, as a devotee, in Navadvipa, is distributing that love of Vrindavan. So in one region, Krishna is enjoying the love, and in the other region, Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is distributing that love. So that's why Vrindavan has, and Golok has two prakoshtas or two chambers, Vrindavan and Navadvipa.
So both are simultaneously, eternally there?
Yes, or in the spiritual sky, everything is eternal. Mm-hmm.
I mean to say, like we understand, like when Krishna realized that I'm missing the love of Radharani, then he came as Mahaprabhu.
He's not missing the love of Radharani. He wanted to figure out the love of Radharani. What is the Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisha? how glorious is Radharani's love for Krishna. What is there in him that attracts Srimati Radharani? And by loving him, what kind of joy she experiences. So he wanted to know these three things. Yes.
Maharaj, thank you for a very sweet material description. With regards to this takes place in Dwarka, so it's in the time of Dwarka era when Krishna is in Dwarka, and the story begins with the Brahman on the front, and then as he progresses and goes to Indra, and then to Indra, Vamana Deva is there, and as Narada Muni can fly with the speed of the mind, so all of this is happening in the time world, or because Vamana Deva avatar took long time back when we take the time transferring process. So how do you reconcile?
Reconcile in the sense, if you go to heavenly planet, you'll find Vamana Deva there with Indra. Vamandev came to kill, to deceive Bali Maharaj. That was at certain time. But Vamandev is there. It is not that Vamandev only appeared at that time and then he disappeared. Right? And so in a similar way we can say that, the pastimes of Krishna with the Pandavas were over. Maybe in this planet it is over, but that pastime is going on eternally. Prabhupada is describing Krishna's pastimes are going on just like the movement of the sun. It's continuously going on. Like the sun is 8:27 in the afternoon, in the evening. And at this time in Singapore, the sun is 8:27 in the morning. Right? In India, another 2.5 hours less. And this is how, just as sun's presence is there in all aspects, everywhere in the planet, somewhere or other in the planet, similarly Krishna's pastimes are going on somewhere or other in the planet, in some planet. Yes.
So, Guru, so the sequence is so nice that we know that, okay, one devotee and then the other is higher, a greater recipient of Krishna's mercy. But, like, personally for us, like, how can we, because, like, how Prabhupada said that we all have a particular rasa with Krishna, so how can we get inspired in our bhakti through this ladder? Like, can we aspire?
You see, our role is to be the servant. The basis of devotion is servitorship, servant. We don't say, no, I'll become Krishna's friend, or I'll become Krishna's mother or father. Our relationship with the Supreme Lord is in servitorship. Then whatever He wants, that He can bestow. Krishna can say, okay, I want you to be this or that. And Krishna, it's up to Krishna. What kind of devotion he would give us, what kind of melody he would give us. But our attitude is, Prabhuji, main ho das tu.
Some devotee experiences is meant for just one type of melo for eternity, or they keep or they also keep changing that service also, that association with the Lord, that relationship with the Lord.
When one achieves perfection, then that becomes constant. You get it? Like, devotion has two stages. Devotional service in practice and devotional service in love. So that loving devotional service of prema bhakti, it develops in perfected stage. That stage is eternal. Say, for example, in the spiritual, meaning when you go back to the spiritual world, you will develop one particular relationship with Krishna. That is constant. That will always be there. Why? because that will give you the ultimate satisfaction. Being in that situation, you'll feel that that's it. All that you want, and you don't want anything else.
So then why are we focusing so much? Why are we always saying Madhuri Bhav is the highest and Gopi Bhav is the highest? It's ultimately decided by him. I mean, whatever role...
You see, say for example, you're working, your company has a structure, you have a chairman, board of directors, managers. You have the understanding of the structure. That doesn't mean that because you know the chairman is the chairman, you want to become a chairman. You get the point? We are getting the understanding of the spiritual structure. But ultimately what will happen to us is entirely up to Krishna. Like in your, say, in your company structure, like you can continue to render your, execute your job. But whether the boss will give you promotion or not, that's up to him. You don't claim that, I will work only when I get the promotion. Or I will work only when I get the position. So that's why knowing what the spiritual structure is, what different mellows are, is giving us a proper understanding of the spiritual reality.
In that sense, then what does aim for the highest really mean? That's what we talk about.
Okay, if you don't want to understand, don't read any books. Just stay where you are. Alright? You get my point? Like, by understanding, do you benefit or not? When you understand, as you say, that conjugal milieu is the highest, by understanding that, do you get benefit from that or not?
I can just
are you reading or you're just... You're not reading. Read Prabhupada's books. Then the understanding will come, you know? Like, without reading or hearing or questioning, like you're asking. See, this is how... Just consider, there's a person who is rendering devotional service without any understanding what the spiritual world is like. Then there is another person who is rendering devotional service with the understanding what the spiritual world is like. Right? Now who is better off?
One who has the understanding.
That's why the understanding is given. Because, and of course, you know, like, and that's why just the books are not enough. The books has to be clarified by the teachers. The teachers gives you the right understanding. Like, for example, just understanding the spiritual reality and different stages of devotion, and like a novice without any guidance will be speculating and will be desiring in a wrong way. Today he will think, oh, I want Krishna to be my friend. And then tomorrow he'll say, no, no, friendship is not good enough. I want to become Krishna's parents. That's not good enough. Day after tomorrow, I want to be Krishna's gopi. But when you follow the guidance of a qualified teacher, what he says, it is not up to you to desire. It is up to Krishna to give. It's up to Krishna to bestow. You continue to serve Krishna. And whatever Krishna wants to give, it's up to him. And not only that, like, that's why we approach Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna himself came as a devotee to teach us how to become a devotee. Krishna is teaching us as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he, in his intense devotion, he is actually considering, how can I please Krishna? How can I serve Krishna? How can I find Krishna? His mood is not that I will become this or I'll become that. And that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Being conscious of Krishna. No self-consciousness, I want this, is not there anymore. What Krishna wants, that's my obsession. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, one song has been presented to you, the copies. This is... Today we didn't get much time to speak about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who came to teach us who is Krishna. In Dwapar Yuga, Krishna came and he declared that he is the Supreme Personality of God. But in the following Kali Yuga, Krishna came to teach us, to tell us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. And therefore, through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we get to know who Krishna is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not saying, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this song goes like, sing the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gora Guna Gao Shuni. Please sing the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and let me hear. Akhila Jiber Eshoko Shagor Nayono Nimeshe Shoshe. What happened to the presentation?
They're fixing it.
Oh, okay. Okay, give me a printed copy. Yeah. Gora guna gao shunu. Bohu punna phale shopohu milalo premo parasho mone. Due to heaps of pious activities, I have found that personality who is the touchstone of divine love. Akhila jiber eshoko shagor nayono nimeshe shoshe. With a wink of an eye, momentary glance, he dries out the suffering condition of all the living entities. Akhila jiver. Akhila means all. Jivera means living entities. Eshoko shayor, this ocean of suffering condition. Nayono nimeshe shoshe, it's not sheshe, it's S-O-S-E. That's correct, right? He dries out that suffering condition just by a momentary glance. Oi premo lesh parosho na paile parano jurabe kishe. If I do not get the touch of that love, how will my heart become satisfied? Oruno noyone boruno alai korunai nirikhani. He is mercifully glancing towards the living entities, towards everyone, with the eyes that has become red like the Arun, the rising sun, and which is the abode of Varuna, the god of water, because there is incident, there is, he is shedding tears incessantly. And Madhuro Alape Akhare Akhare Shudhadhara Borishane, with his sweet conversation, due to his sweet conversation, it seems that every single syllable is showering nectar. Premed halo dhalo, pula ke puralo, apado mastako tolo. His entire body from head to toe is ecstatic with due to love and hair standing in the whole body. Vasudeva kahi shatadhara vahi shumeru shinchita janma. Vasudeva is saying that seeing him, it seems as if the Sumeru mountain is being inundated with hundreds of streams. So would you like to sing this song?
Riva!
Ministry, called the Ministry of Cow Protection and Agriculture. So, cows are actually very, very important aspect of Krishna consciousness. In order to understand the importance of cows, we have to recognize its spiritual context. Some people think that because cows give milk, therefore cows are worshipped. Buffaloes give milk, but did you ever worship buffaloes? Goats give milk. Camels also give milk. We worship them. The cows we worship. And if you look at it, then you can see that everything about cow is beneficial. And like even cow dung. Can you imagine that cow dung is actually the waste product of the cows? But that is so pure that even the temples are sanctified with cow dung. So that is how important cows are. And today, as I was saying, like in order to understand, we have to see the spiritual aspect of cow protection or cow culture. What is the topmost region of the spiritual world?
Goloka Vrinda.
Yes, you got it. Golok. Golok means?
Planet of
cows. Go means?
Cows.
And lok means?
Planet.
Planet or world. The topmost region of the spiritual world is? The planet of cows. And what is the what is the occupation of the residents of that topmost region? What are they? Gopa. Gopa, the residents of that world is known as Gopas, mean those who tend the cows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is Gopal. He maintains the cows. He is Govinda. He gives pleasure to the cows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is giving pleasure to the cows, taking care of the cows. So you can see how important the cows are. Not only in this world, even in the spiritual world, the cows are of the highest importance. So now you can see the link between the residents of the spiritual world and cows. There's a very strong, intimate bond between cows and the residents of the spiritual world, even the Supreme Personality of God. Now, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave his own form to the human beings, us. Man has been created according to the image of God. God's original form is two-armed, and that form he has given to us. So when he gave different living entities, different types of bodies, to the human beings he gave his own body. And to sustain the human culture, human beings, he has given the cows. So while he sent us, giving his own form, he also gave the cows to have a bond in order for our actual prosperity. Like we can Although it's very subtle, it's practically impossible to understand. But in a way we can see how in this nature we have link with others. Say, for example, we and the trees. Did you ever consider the importance of the trees? Our survival is totally depending upon the trees. Food we eat, where does the food come from? Trees and plants. We take oxygen, give out carbon dioxide. The trees are taking the carbon dioxide, giving the oxygen back. So you see the link between us and the trees? That is more obvious. But our link with the cows are very subtle. And I'll give you an example. The other day I was in Atlanta. And in Atlanta there is one devotee. He's a doctor. His name is Adi Gadadhar Prabhu. Maybe many of you know him. In India, their family, they are landlords. They're landlords. They have hundreds of acres of land. And his father, although a doctor, he gave up his career and he went back to their ancestral home, and there he is taking care of the cows. He's just taking care of the cows. And he was telling me the other day when we were discussing that that area of Madhya Pradesh, I'm sorry, Maharashtra, near Nagpur, the whole area is very arid, very dry. But where they are, their land, about a few hundred acres of land, that land, there is so much water. And it's actually a miracle that the rest of the place is dry, but their land is full of water. So much water that there are lots of animals live there. Even leopards are there. I asked, don't they attack? He said, no, they have so much food there, they don't have to attack human beings. Now tell me why. Because they're taking care of the cows. So real prosperity for human beings lie in cow protection, taking care of the cows. Krishna is taking care of the cows, so why shouldn't we take care of the cows? And when we do that, we cannot even imagine how inconceivable the benefit is going to be. Anyway, Prabhupada, although he himself could not really establish that culture so himself, because Prabhupada's mission was to establish Krishna consciousness, and he could not afford to get diverted by anything else, so he was just focused on to. But he wrote so much, he spoke so much about cow protection, and he was so proud of our goshalas in New Vrindavan and Gita Nagari. Prabhupada in India, he used to tell people, whenever some important people used to come, Prabhupada used to tell about our cows. They give so much milk. Prabhupada used to say, our cows, they give 60 liters of milk. I think 60 liters is about 24 gallons. Yeah. 24, 25 gallons. In India, they don't measure according to gallon. They understand in liter. And Prabhupada used to say that their udder is so big that it almost touches the ground. So this is how proud Srila Prabhupada was about the cows, and he emphasized so much about the cow protection. And so do you think we should get involved in cow protection?
Hariva!
I know many of you are taking ahimsa milk from Gita Nagari. One devotee where I was staying yesterday, he was telling me that he is getting that milk. For him, it's costing about $34 a gallon of milk. Like 14 liters is the price, and other 20 liters just to transport it, shipping. Now in the market, you buy a gallon for $3.40. But he's paying 10 times more to have ahimsa milk and give support to that culture. So I can see that so many of you are so seriously concerned about crop protection. So in order to effectively protect, get into this mission, we started a club called Cow Lovers Club. So those who love cows, do you think they should become members of the club?
Yes.
Okay.
So Aditana and Prabhu will tell you all about the Cow Lovers Club membership some other day. Today we are getting quite late also. And please get involved in this project. You know, actually, to tell you frankly, it's the vegans who actually woke us up. About 4 years back, Radhanath Maharaj and I were in London, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and we were talking, and Radhanath Maharaj was telling that he had some encounter with some vegans, and the vegans were actually challenging him. Like, why do you are supposed to be lovers of cows, but why do you drink cow's milk? So, and that actually made us think. Radhanath Maharaj since then stopped taking cow's milk unless it's ahimsa milk. Their point is that why are you supporting that industry that is killing cows, buying milk from them, taking care of. And of course our way to look at our way is different. That is, we know that by not taking cow's milk, you are not going to stop that industry. The way to do it actually is to save the cows from going to the slaughterhouse. That is the real way of stopping. Anyway, so we have many other objectives like that. So please give your support to this cause. We have a ministry. The minister for this ministry is Kalakanta Prabhu. Did he ever come here?
No.
Okay. He will come here and he'll present the ministry's mission. And before that, Aditana and Prabhu will actually explain to you about this membership. So please join the club. How many of you will join the club?
Wonderful.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to you. Gaur Primanna Devi. Hare Krishna. So, thank you so much, Guru Maharaj, for the wonderful nectarian pastime from Brihad Bhagavat and explaining all the different levels. And I was just appreciating how Maharaj actually initially started the whole story with explaining about how devotees, they are always in the mood of appreciating the qualities, and Maharaj explained it so beautifully. So thank you so much, Maharaj. That was very, very enlightening. So let's express our gratitude. We have more nectar coming. So tomorrow evening, again, Maharaj is going to. So Maharaj spoke of one story, and there's a second story which is even more interesting in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So tomorrow evening, we'll have the program at the same time, starting at 6:30. And tomorrow evening, the program will be at Madhav Prabhu and Lakshmi Mataji's house. So please do come for part two, and that way you have both the stories, knowledge of both the stories, and you can actually start reading the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and go more into the depth of this wonderful book. Okay. So tomorrow evening, 6:30 at Madhav Prabhu's house. And also I wanted to announce, Maharaj has a beautiful book called Ocean of Mercy. You can see a copy right there. So that Maharaj has written this book, and it talks about his interactions with Srila Prabhupada and glorifies Srila Prabhupada, who actually has given his mercy all over the world. You know, what Prabhupada has done is just inconceivable, and Maharaj so wonderfully, through his relationship with Prabhupada, glorifies Srila Prabhupada, what he has done for all of us.
So it's a wonderful book, and please get a copy before you leave, and Maharaj can actually sign the copies of the book. Thank you. So Maharaj will actually sign a copy, so we have copies. You can get a copy and Maharaj will sign it for you, so you can actually get a signed copy of this wonderful book. And also we have this Brihad Bhagavatam with a set. So it's a set of three books, so you see it right here, and it's wonderful. Like Maharaj gave us in summary, the first story, and there are like two stories, and it's so nectarian to read the whole thing. And Maharaj is here, so it's a wonderful opportunity for you to actually get an entire set of Brihad Bhagavatam. It comes in three books. Can you show one box? So, you see this box? This is like three books, and it's three parts to it, two stories. And the entire set is only $51 donation. Right? So please come and get the set of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and Maharaj will sign the book for you.
And this book, this one, as this Brihad Bhagavatamrita has been brilliantly translated by one of our god brothers who is not in the planet anymore, Gopi Paramahansa. I mean, I tell you, this is an amazing book. In 1988. I gave a seminar, 1 month long seminar on Brihad Bhagavatamrita in Vrindavan. So you can well imagine how much nectar is there in this book. What I just gave today is just a synopsis. And please dive deep into this book and you'll never find, I mean, it's very, very rare to find such a scripture. Like, just consider the importance of this book. Our whole culture is based on Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And Sanatana Goswami elaborated Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has been expanded for our understanding. That is brilliant. When you read through this Brihad Bhagavatam, you get the perfect understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. In that way, I can say there are two books that are very important. Brihad Bhagavatam is the expansion of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Brahma Samhita is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Brahma Samhita is another book. It is so important that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never carried anything with himself. When he found this Brahma Samhita, he personally copied that book and carried with him. He would not even take anything for himself, not even a set of cloth. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu insisted that somebody should go with him, just to carry a set of cloth for him and his water pot. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who never wrote anything except Shikshashtakam, he personally copied this book. So also read that book for your own proper spiritual understanding. Alright? Will you read? Thank you.
Next time we can have 1 month seminar here also.
Well, that may be your condition. I have even a better proposal. We can have a 1 month seminar in the land of Krishna. And it will be better because you will be far from your madding cloud. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Glorious Krishna. I'm making arrangements for devotees' accommodation. It's taking time because I'm not getting the permission. Actually, in America, that's one hassle, to get the permission from the city council. So, otherwise, my plan was to complete at least one guest house by now. But we couldn't even start the work because we are waiting for the approval of the plan from the city council. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for that. So, you can actually come forward, get an ocean of mercy, get a Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Maharaj will sign for you. And also, we have a special prasadam that Maharaj will distribute to you. So there's so much nectar and so much blessings. So please do join us tomorrow evening also at 6:30 p.m. We have program at Mother Prabhu's house. And another announcement. So please, I know everyone is getting okay now for prasadam time. Just one more announcement. So just in about 2 months' time, we have our biggest festival of the year coming up, Sri Krishna Janmashtami. And this year, it is actually on a long weekend. It's on the Labor Day weekend. So it's on Monday on that. So it's wonderful. So we can have 3 days of preparation and celebration. And for the Janmashtami celebration, you know, we have a...